Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey pod people, Engineer Adam here, jumping in for a quick second to let you know about the brand new all-in-one platform for all of you creative podcasters out there. Anchor makes it easier than ever to make a podcast. It's free to use and has all the creation tools you need to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Plus, Anchor will get your podcast set up on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found. Even better, Anchor helps you connect with sponsors, even if you're just starting out. It's the perfect choice for podcasters, so make sure to check it out. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's anchor.fm. Back to the show.
Are you ready for season 3 of Discography?
Yeah!
We're jumping into the deep end of The Who. Not only will we go through every Studio Who album in great detail, but their story is often told between albums, so we'll be touching on non-album singles, the solo works of Keith Moon, John Entwistle, Roger Daltrey, and Pete Townsend, and some of the events that would make a record begin as a concept and land as something that would universally change the world. Discography returns to Consequence Podcast Network in January of 2019. Until then, be lucky.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hello to all of you wonderful pod people out there. I am your host, Leo Phillips, and this is This Must Be The Gig, your little backstage pass to the world of live music. Each and every week, I bring you a fascinating conversation from the beating heart of our favorite area of the world, the live music and performance world. That could really mean a musician or a festival founder on the podcast, a choreographer dishing the goodies from the backstage, a comedian, an actor, really anybody obsessed with performance in the way that we are. But before we dig into this week's interview, let's check in with our constant companion here at the TMBTG Studios, Engineer Adam. Hello.
Hey, I really liked how you got through TMBTG. It's fun
cool.
to say, TMBTG.
I mean, it's kind of long-winded. How are you doing?
I'm in a post-Grammys haze, a funk, a hangover.
Like Grammys was 6 months ago already, and it's only
3 days.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, happy days.
That's how the week goes. So what's going on?
I'm in a haze post-Grammys, you know? Like, there were so many crazy highs and lows in that show. I loved, for example, the St. Vincent Dua Lipa performance. Did you catch that one?
Yeah, of course I did. It was beautiful. We were sitting next to each other.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that. And then the Post Malone Red Hot Chili Peppers one, not so much.
No, torture.
A little bit not as much, let's say.
No, torture.
Janelle Monáe's Magnetic performance, loved it.
I feel like she should have received an award. That performance was so precisely on point for her, you know, Dirty Computer medley. It was just phenomenal. She's amazing.
Weird Will Smith and Blue Genie makeup. Not as much.
No. That was frightening. Like, I always talk about Toni Collette in the corner of the room after watching Hereditary. And now
this might be your new
literally
nightmare.
Like, got out the shower and was washing my face. And as I, like, looked in the mirror, I saw behind me Will Smith as a genie. He also just looks very clown-like. It's
just
terrible how they like manipulated his beautiful face.
I loved your tweet about it. Lior is a good follow on Twitter. Let's say that. At Lior Phillips.
I don't think so.
Let's say it.
I'm not sure.
And her tweet was that it looked like an SNL sketch, which
yeah, really.
Is absolutely true.
I thought someone
like
was
that,
pulling
that just
my
looks
leg.
Like a joke. I don't know.
I don't know if honestly, like, there's a magic in Aladdin and magic about, like, conjuring a genie. And if I rubbed a freaking lamp and that thing came out, I would be like, what the fuck? You know, that thing must just go right back into the genie, into the lamp. Get back in there. Don't grant me. My wish is for it to not be around.
But Disney, if you want us to apologize, we will, and we're sorry.
Yeah, we'll.
If you want to put our podcast on the Disney Podcast Network.
I will be blue. Yeah, I will join the Blue Man's group. Dolly and Miley, we can talk about them. I
wish Dolly that they would ran the show. Record. Just have Dolly host it next year.
And also have them just record a duet together. I feel like that could also
work.
A
whole album, I say.
And also have Michelle Obama just have cameos at every single award show and event and any party.
It's amazing how starstruck.
Michelle Obama should be the genie. She can grant everybody's wish.
Yeah, and she wouldn't even need to be blue.
No, she wouldn't. She's that magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a whole room full of the biggest stars in the music world, and they're all, like, gushing over Michelle Obama.
Yeah, because she's fucking wonderful.
The wonderfulest.
She's a remarkable human being. And Lady Gaga kind of interpreted her super mellow, melancholic, shallow song.
Oh, yeah.
From A Star Is Born, but, like, she conjured a sort of jangly Ziggy Stardust covered in sequins monster. And I was into it.
Were you?
I was, like, really into it. I mean, I feel like she has a good squat. And so I was also admiring her beautiful form. I'm allowed to objectify her, am I?
You're objectifying her athletic prowess.
Great.
Yes.
I loved it. I thought she's, like, totally weird. And she was just reminding everybody, like, this is who I am in the music realm. And then I'm kind of straight-laced.
So there was a little bit of a funk left over after watching that whole 3 hours of emotion and highs. And luckily, we've got a little pick-me-up in the form of an interview this week.
Yeah, let's stop talking about the Grammys and start talking about the most amazing interview we have. If anyone is really going to bring some reinvigorating light and energy and power to shake loose any sort of feelings of downness, it's going to be Young Fathers. If you haven't heard of them or about them or anything from them, the Scottish trio released the mind-blowing Coco Sugar last year, easily in contention for one of my favorite albums of 2018. Young Fathers really blend experimental rap grooves, these fiery R&B hooks and beautiful flourishes of pop, African polyrhythms, club beats, and so much more. And I was so lucky when they came through Chicago a few months ago. I got to sit down with one third of the group, Ali Massakoi, in the vibrant bar of their hotel just prior to their live show. And let me tell you, this conversation brought some off-kilter, beautiful, passionate, beating, pulsing energy, just like their record.
And hey, once you've heard this chat and you're all jazzed up, ready to go, take that energy, leave us a note about it on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, at TMBTGpod. Even better than that, leave your best concert experience, your first concert experience, leave it as a message in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts, and we'll shout you out. Did you see there's a great review this week from Bertrand Trellis?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is that? That's not even a real name.
That's somebody's iTunes name.
Okay. People have weird online personas.
So thanks for the review, Bertrand.
Thank you for listening. Let us not be delayed, though. This is me and Ali. Enjoy. Listen to their music, too.
If I had a house, some of the rooms would look like that, you know, like the my room, and then I have another room hopefully, and that could look like something else, but my room would probably look just minimalistic.
Wait, you don't have a house?
I do, I still have a flat and stuff, but it's not my own, I don't own it. I'm never there, so you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, but I like the decor, it's really nice.
Yeah.
Simple,
minimalistic. Where are you based at the moment?
Edinburgh, Scotland.
I love Edinburgh. Yeah. That was the first place that made my bones, like, scream at me because it was so fucking cold. And I know that we're in Chicago and it's so freezing here. Do you think it's worse in Chicago? I mean,
I don't know. It's like, yeah, it's, I think I don't know when the height of the coldest time it is in Chicago, if maybe similar
sometimes
to Scotland.
Like February, it's more, January, February.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. It's more the wind. I think you can be somewhere and it's cold, that's fine, you can kind of deal with it, but when it's just that wind, those Arctic winds that just cuts through your clothing and hits your bones,
it's not funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
I remember the first time I experienced that, I walked outside, screamed, and ran back in, because I was like, this is not, I don't know how to communicate with the wind. Like, I felt like my body was like, it wasn't moving in the right way, like everything was just crumbling.
Right.
But so now you said, just before we pressed record, you said that this is your third time in Chicago.
Third time.
And you're playing in like an hour at Bottom Lounge.
Bottom Lounge, right.
Where have you played there before?
We've played there before.
Okay. Yeah. What do you love about Bottom Lounge? I've seen some pretty crazy shit there.
It's a good vibe, and I think it's one of those go-to places that everyone knows, and it's known. It's like, in a sense, a rite of passage, you know, to these sort of venues. And
what was the first time you played in Chicago?
I can't remember.
It's so long ago.
I can't remember. I don't think it was Bottom Lounge. It was somewhere else, and then we did Bottom Lounge.
Okay.
Or we did Bottom Lounge
and then
somewhere else, and then back to Bottom Lounge. Yeah, so
I
can't imagine.
So you got demoted, and then you were like, and oh,
then,
no,
and
really
then we got promoted again back to there, and we're ascending, hopefully.
Well, I'm happy you're here. I only moved here like a year ago.
How are you finding it all from?
It's the music scene is just, I can, you're also a foreigner traveling here.
Yeah.
I know I'm not traveling here, but the music scene is so vibrant in a sense of there is so many pockets of things that I've only touched the surface.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So, which is, you know, coming from South Africa, saying a lot, you know.
For me, South Africa is the place. Like, for music and like all this kind of experimental stuff and stuff that's happening that people don't know of, but for me, South Africa, the music scene creatively, it's just ahead. It's just forward.
It is.
Like, miles ahead of anywhere, you know, and
I love that you enjoyed it there. I really, because a lot of people go and
life-changing, you know, of course there's pros and cons to every sort of place that you go, but at the heart of it, it felt like just a sense of, everyone was very cerebral, everyone was very aware, everyone was very in tune, and you know, issues of race and oppression and whatnot, but you know, because it's still early days, you know, apartheid didn't, you know, finish. It's not too long ago, you know what I mean? So,
I've grown up here and I've got friends
who grew up with that, so it's like, it's interesting. But there is a sense of freedom, there is a sense of, but this is from outside looking in, I can't speak for people who actually live there, you know, but the outside looking is a sense of, you know, creatively and just. The sounds is just—it's just amazing. It's like there's a juxtaposition of things that's happening, and this—it's in this kind of middle ground.
Yeah.
And it feels like something else needs to happen, and then it'll just be there. You know, it's like that.
But it's such a small industry, and I know in
crazy.
Scotland it's the same.
Yeah, it's not existing.
It's not. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But, it's still,
but they try. Yeah. They try their hardest, and especially because if you're an African artist, no matter what your color is, no matter what language you speak, you're part of a country and a continent that has so many complex. So much history.
Yes.
You can't help but feel it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that the racism is much more intense in America than it is in South Africa. I'm not going to speak about racism, but you know what I mean? Because I'm not going to approach that subject.
Potentially, but then...
It is bad there as well.
I think... I guess when I was there, it was more like, you know, we're fortunate enough to be in a bubble of, like, a creative...
Absolutely.
You know, backdrop, you know, let's see. And,
absolutely.
You know, you could feel certain vibes or whatnot, but it wasn't as explicit. You could tell, you know, the rich from the poor, clearly.
Yes.
You know, you could see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think in America, it's more overt, you know, that's what I kind of like. You know, I want to know if someone hates my guts for whatever reason. I'd rather they say it out loud. They'd rather say it in this kind of... Than living in this sort of It's like microaggression, all these subtleties, you know, which you have in the UK. It's still there. It's still just as bad. It's still just as prevalent. But it's not as...
Yeah.
It's not as vocal. They've not vocalized it as much. I think that's the difference.
So do you feel your home is Scotland? Like, how do you feel connected? Because as a creative, home is a really important
100%
thing. But you're a touring artist.
Yeah, I think.
And, you know, it's a different lifestyle.
Home. Yeah, true. I think with home is essentially where your loved ones are. So I think, you know, I grew up in Scotland, so I'm just a Scottish as the next Caucasian person, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I moved there when I was I moved there when I was like 4 and a half. You know,
wait, where did you move from?
Originally, I was born in Liberia. Liberia, so it's like Liberia, Ghana, and Sierra Leone.
I just, are your family still there in Liberia?
No, my family's in Scotland.
They're
so
all moved. Okay.
My mom and my sisters and little brothers. And
gosh, are you asked this question all the time? I feel terrible that I didn't know that.
It's all good. So, but I've grew up in Scotland. You know, the pivotal years of my life has been in Scotland. So, I'm
you
Scottish.
Identify as that.
And that's it. But, you know, I live in a predominantly white city. And not.
It is so white in Edinburgh.
Yeah, of course.
It's like Australia.
It's getting a bit better, you know, community-wise, you know, loads of different kids from different minorities hanging out.
It's just so expensive.
It's extortionate.
Yeah.
But it's a very, very rich city, you know, and they've got the festival to thank for that, you know, and tourists
love
it.
Absolutely.
You know, it is a beautiful city on top of that. Mm. But you, in any place where you want things to thrive, at the heartbeat of our culture is music and creativity, and yet Edinburgh should be doing more, you know. But they've got this kind of balancing where it is a city for tourists. Essentially, it is a beautiful city. Like, you know, where in the world are you gonna find a freaking castle in middle of town?
I know, it's
the,
you know,
the
it
old
is
town, and, like, it's very,
very
medieval
magical.
Weekend. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but
how often do you get to go back? Because now you're on tour for quite a while
we've been
consistently for like 10 years.
Yeah, well, it's like we've been doing it since we're like 14. So, but
14.
In general, since we're 14. But in general, like the last 5-6 years, it's been a lot of touring on and off. And, you know, I think this is probably the first year where things have been a bit more relaxed. And, you know, I think...
Which is crazy because you've come out with... literally my favorite album of the year, and I'm not being
I appreciate that
gushy about it.
No, honestly,
ridiculous.
I appreciate it.
But that's, you know, like I haven't this is my job. I haven't been able to crit other music because I can only listen to Coco.
No, that means,
it's so fucking great.
Like,
and no one ever talks about like the deep cuts of the album.
Thank you.
They always like talk about
like,
the video. Border Girl is ridiculous. That beginning. Breathing, audible gasp that happens is it literally makes me, and I feel very
something.
Unprofessional
feel.
Gushing so badly.
But everybody
I know knows that is, it's really one of my favorite, and it's so crazy because I've followed you for so many years, and I know it's the most accessible, but weirdly your fans are still. Like, it's made me even worse. Like, I've become even more invested.
See, that's the difference.
It's
and that's the idea behind it. It's the fact that you've stripped back and got to the essence of the group, you know. And,
but it's so complex.
That's the thing, because simplicity is a complex thing to get to that point.
Yeah.
So it's like, so to do that, but then allow it, the room for you to breathe, for you to like take it in, for it to be like, I can live with this. I've not heard of Young Fathers. Or like, this is the album that gets you into it. This is the album that goes, oh, I can actually.
And I did that,
you know,
literally with a lot of other bands, but when I was very young. Mm. So when I was first starting out listening to bands, I did that like head jerk. Like, what the fuck? Who are these people and why are they speaking a different language?
There you go, because it is essentially, like you say, it is a different language, and you're putting that to the forefront. You're trying people to come around, because it's like music doesn't have to be this kind of way. It can be like this as well. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and we feel we're, you know,
but you have a firm idea of what you do.
Yes.
There's no like,
yes, it's not.
I feel like listening to that album from start to finish, there's no issue.
Albums.
I'm not sitting. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the difference. It's like it has dynamics. It's the depths. It's like the beginning, middle, and end. And we, as a group, loved. That's the albums we grew up listening to.
What did you grow up listening to?
We grew up listening to all kinds of stuff.
Because I literally listened to like your playlist, your tour playlist. Because obviously I follow you on Facebook.
Man, but it's so like it's a mixture so
it's
much.
It's like you've got every we've got Fela Kuti. You've got. You've got.
What's that guy's name? We got what's the name? We got Sean Paul. We have
I wrote it down somewhere. I don't know. Let's look. Hold on. I wrote it down. You have so much.
Bruce Springsteen. We have.
It's the Bruce.
We grew up. We're so
You have boys. Aretha. Lil Yachty. I've everything. Taken my phone out. I'm not going to lie to everybody. I wrote some notes.
Everything.
I think that the greatest thing as well about it is that there is some level of artistry, which I find as a third album, it isn't often that you're hearing a band. You aren't, it's like, you know, those people are like, you're coming into your own.
Yeah,
you're figuring out who you are, which is like, bullshit.
Yeah,
I feel like you've always known who you are. You just haven't had the proper intention. Because I think it's all about intention, 100%, this album.
I concur with that because it's like, get good at what you do, you get more confident, you know, but we're still trying to push it. We want to be that group, that band that comes out. You don't know what album's going to come out. You don't know what it's going to sound like. You don't know what
But you know it's going to be but, you know, good.
No, because
you trust.
Because you're confident. Because you're confident within the group's ability, you know, confident your own ability and what you're going to bring and like do whatever you want. But if you keep what you have and you apply it to a new surroundings or a new source, you see what happens. And that's the thing, because we approach it and we're trying to capture moments. We don't try and dwell on things. We try and keep it moving and keep it exciting. Something that makes us feel like, well, I don't know what this is, but, you know, I like it. And that's the go-to signal. You know, if it starts feeling a bit like, you know, like you've been there before, it just
Are you saying this as a writer?
As a writer, you know.
Your approach in terms approach of your stuff, own.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And, okay. And like, as soon as you get that inclination, it starts to feel normal, or it starts to feel very middle of the road or average or whatever. As you go, it quickly and organically.
You know that? You know when you go there?
Instinctively. Wow. And it just transforms. We all know that. We're all literally on the same page. You start, it just doesn't feel right. And then it just changes into something else. So, you know, and you got to think to yourself, you better love these songs because you're going to be performing them for a long time. So there's no point in that. There is a filter. There's a filter process where it's like, is this working? Is this not? You know, and a lot of the time you take stuff away and it opens up the track, or you can hear what the essence of the song is. You think, oh, there's something there. But
even your energy now, which is the most wonderful thing that I'm getting to chat to you in person. Because a lot of these are done over the phone, as you know, or they're done like quickly backstage or something. Yeah. And the fact that I'm feeling like this energy, it's so real.
Oh, thank you.
And exactly what I would have wanted, which is again something that you translate on stage. And this whole project that I do is all about performance and your relationship to it.
Yeah.
So what was the first show where you were literally standing there going, what the is this? You saw this person on stage, you didn't want to emulate them, but you were so inspired and so empowered. Was there anything, or even just the first show that you ever saw?
It was the first show ever. I don't actually know the first show I ever saw, but you know what? Like,
because Scotland gets a lot. I mean, as many bands, like, but it's easy.
I've seen shows, but it's that kind of thing where when you do it, you kind of. You don't go and lose yourself. You go because you know how it all works. You know
how the rabbit comes out of the hat.
Yeah, you know it. You kind of know it. So, like, I will say that there's been times in my life I've been to shows where I've enjoyed it because of the circumstance, who you're with, and the before. And then you go and see the show and stuff. But I would say in the last few years, the last two shows that come to mind would be Beyonce. Beyonce in Glasgow. And the Beyonce, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Glasgow, but it's a Beyonce show. Let's call
exactly.
It Spade a Spade. Let's call it Spade a
Spade. But, he's laugh.
And then there was this show that I think it might have been in San Antonio.
Yes.
And it was a festival. I don't know if was it Toledo or to,
yeah,
to, I don't know the festival, but we there was just like just kind of bar, a little dive bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was a band that were playing, and this gentleman, this guy, he looked like, I don't know, he was maybe 50 or 60 or whatever it is, but he was in a rock and roll band. So this is kind of like rock and roll or punky, yeah, whatever band it was. So, and he looked like he's been ravaged by, like, time wasn't kind on his, yes, on how he looked. But he looked, yeah, he looked ravaged. He looked like he'd been
disheveled.
Disheveled. Or he had a story, you know. He, yes, looked like he'd been through it all. And, you know, he must have been on drugs or something.
Yeah.
But the way this guy performed has stuck with me since then, before we even did the record.
Why?
Because it was first, it was like the first time for me to see something, see a person not move. He never moved from where he was. Like, his hands was fraying and whatever, and he was, but I could see, like, everything just kind of, everything just felt very cohesive. Okay, it was a pastiche or whatever, but there was so much energy, there was so much, there was a connection that he had with the feeling or whatever it was he was singing
yeah,
or was shouting or screaming or growling. It was that, and that's what I was just like, yeah. And I think we have elements of that in our music, in our performance, and
absolutely,
I think that's what people, because it's very innate, and it's very, I don't want to use the word tribal, but it's, what's the word?
It is, though. There is something
unbridled,
very,
you know,
yeah,
I mean?
And very raw and
raw,
very raucous.
It's very, and you just, when you see it, you know, you don't have to explain, it's something you don't know how to explain, but you feel it. And I think just watching him, I was mesmerized by this guy.
You're the first person to not, like, drop a name about, like, the show that you really love.
Yeah, like, just like just disheveled. I don't know what the band was called. I've been literally trying to find what the band is. I've got the footage on my phone somewhere, like, you know, loads of footage, you know. But, like, but I don't know what. And
you,
I kind of like,
post it on social media.
I kind of like that I don't know. It kind of keeps it this kind of mystery. It keeps it like an artist. And, you know, but just watching the guy's eyes, and, like, so, you know, that was in my mind when we're doing Toy. We made the song Toy.
Such a great song.
So it was that kind of, so
it's like a whiplash song.
Yeah,
like,
there
makes
you
go. Your
is that
head,
kind of, is that energy, is that thing? So in the performance way, I try and visualize this person or the energy that you put, and that's what I try and put into the performance. You know, it's that. And that's,
do you feel like sometimes, like, does it feel, especially when you're on stage and people are like shouting back the lyrics to you or dancing or flailing around, do you feel like you get energy from that, or is it purely a performance?
It's definitely
for people.
No, I think it's, there's a level of being aware and lost in the moment, and it's this kind of back and forth that's happening, because we're very aware of our surroundings, and I'm very aware of what's going on. But you're very aware, but at the same time, you can lose yourself in it. You do lose yourself in it, and you're having this kind of dialogue with the crowd. You know, you're seeing something, they're seeing something.
Yeah.
There's what they're seeing is the movement, or what, you know, like you say, whipping their hair, or just shouting some of the lyrics back. And it's this give and take, push and pull thing.
Yeah.
And because you're creating a moment that could easily just be destroyed, easily, because that moment wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly.
Before you sound check, it's an empty room, it's cold, but you're creating something together. And I think that's the closest to people feeling equal in as well. I think that's the closest, you know, because, you know, you'll even look at how the stage is, right? It's raised. So you're put up there
immediately. Yeah.
You're put up there in that kind of respect. So you have to do it justice in terms of how I see things. It's like I see the stage as like justify. I see a justify written on the stage, because then you have to justify who you are, justify the group, justify why you're better than whoever else. What road you took to get to this position. So you have to justify everything about yourself, the group,
in that,
you know,
like,
in that
power.
So, and people are going, okay, cool, justify to me, because that's essentially what it is. And then it's like, until they feel they're able to be like, you know what, I get into that and feel allowed or okay to move, then they get on board with you. So, and I feel it is justified for, in a sense, a crowd to be hostile towards you.
Right.
Because you've been placed on that pedestal.
Yes.
So now justify who you are.
Yeah.
And out with life, you're constantly having to justify who
what is
you
the
are.
Reaction that you usually get? Like, what is what's the craziest shit that you've ever seen happening?
Well, we're in Germany, and I'm not mentioning the hotel. great hotel, though.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of stuff that happened, and people having sex. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
What
they, like, they felt whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, do whatever you do.
During the performance.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you didn't obviously stop.
No. Well, they didn't stop either. So there was a...
You're not going to stop. I'm not going to stop.
So it was just whatever.
I think
so
that's fucking amazing,
it was Friday and folk were just like, whatever, you know, but that's probably like... Okay.
That's definitely whatever. I was not expecting that, whatever. I have to say. You definitely shocked me with that.
Okay.
That's all you... He was like, yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
No, no, but it was like... But, yeah. So you have... that artist, but...
Yes.
To Beyonce.
Yes.
Beyonce and Jay-Z show, I think what I loved about that was the fact that, you know, this is a modern-day icon. And, two of them, but it was a spectacle. Her show was a freaking spectacle. She is the, you know, there is pros and cons about every artist, you know, as people will say, but I think she is the closest thing to Michael Jackson. Modern day Michael Jackson is Beyonce, like by far, hands down.
Absolutely.
And like in terms of
she's vocal beyond ability, that like, human just, form.
It's that thing where it's like an entity and people like. She's past the stage. Like you could put, she can put whatever she wants there. Whether it's good or not, it doesn't matter.
We will listen.
It's just on a level.
Well, that's the thing is that she has a voice.
Yeah,
not literally, but she has a voice that we want to listen to and internalize.
So I think it's
that
just
production is mad as well. I mean, come on.
So just to watch something like that and be like, wow, like she sounds better live than actually on the records. And I just wish she just sung like that.
Not overly produced.
And like there's a quality of voice that I feel like it's probably been missing. It's that sort of raw edge, and she can do it. Like when she sings live, it's just like whoa, it's like incredible. And I'm just like wow, she sings better live than in the freaking record.
So do you feel connected then to singing then live as opposed to being in the studio and being contained?
It's a bit of both because you're trying to trap an energy.
Is that hard for you though?
No, you don't think about it. A lot of the time you don't think about it, you just do, you know, you just express and then whatever happens, you know, I think. But it's definitely something that I was in awe of. Just the whole performance, the staging, the lighting, it felt like it was very tangible, you know, and that's what the guys and
of another era.
And of another era, and that's what the guys and I
are trying to bring forward, is to make
this thing that seems so random, doesn't make sense, become more and more tangible, you know, and I think with this record, this Coco Shigo, I think this is the start of that, and everybody getting on board and realizing, amongst ourselves and people and the audience, like realizing that it's possible. It's these things can happen. These random,
because nothing sounds like it, especially not in Scotland.
No.
Although we follow the scene and it's great there as well. There's some great like Glasgow.
Well,
the
Glasgow is more.
Glasgow is much more.
Glasgow is more exciting. People,
it's very difficult to do what you do and then have it contained just there. So I'm not surprised that you made an album that you know would propel you to a place like this.
100%. I think it's just a big growth, really. Yeah.
But you've known the guys now for so long, and
everything,
which is, again, I know that people may just shove that off, like, oh yeah, no, cool, you made like at school.
No, that adds because it, you know, is a level of trust and understanding, and like,
which, you know, like, why is that necessary for you as an artist?
Because I think when you celebrate everybody's differences, it brings things together, and you know, if you look at any sort of, let's say, company. The better ones are the wise ones are the ones that have people who are not the same. And like any sort of community or society, like having people who are all different or having different points of view adds to it and feeds
how,
it. And
what are your different, like how do you,
because it's different people.
Different.
I'm just different people. Like, you know, I'm not like Kiss, he's not like me, we're not like Graham, vice versa. You know, we're all just different individuals.
And artistically. I mean,
artistically
of course.
As well. But there's stuff that brings us together, and it's this thing of wanting it to be of a certain level.
Mm.
You know, like if you think of, there's different pop songs that we hear or songs that we like, and there's, but we all allude to the bit that's the best part. You know, it's not even the chorus, it's just the way the person sung something, or the moment someone went, it's just like, that's like the best bit.
What is your process then, not process, because I kind of feel that that word is crippling a little in terms of like it puts you in a box, but what is your way of then getting into that, knowing that you have your brothers, your family on stage with you, knowing that you have this crew around you that have worked with you for so long, you have these fans that love you. What is your process of getting into a sense of, I still, the justify thing? Like, how do you,
how do you get into it?
Yeah.
Because you care.
Yeah.
You care about what you do and you want
Why
it to
do
be
you
good.
Care about what you do?
Because we still believe that music matters. You still believe that these things can change people's minds, perception, the world, you know, and to an extent, people
what
can say it's naive, but, but if this little thing that you can hold on to and keep chipping stuff away, then it really matters. It's powerful. You can't see it, you can feel it. And that, you know, we're human beings and we feel things. And I think it's about alluding to some form of balance, you know, and just self-expression. Just simply, you're able to express yourself in a particular manner. You know, whatever baggage that you have, you can either leave it at the side of the stage or take it on the stage with you. And that helps. And that creates this moment. Nothing, you know, there's no right or wrong way about it. There's no right or wrong way about writing songs. You know, people think there's a particular route. Sure, there's
like
avenues
algorithm,
to go.
Yeah.
But there's, you know,
there's definitely something theoretically that is pleasing. Yeah. There's certainly a way to do it.
Sure,
but the way that you writing is not. There's no.
There's no right or wrong way. There's no master. And I feel like, how can you quantify a feeling or expression? I don't think you can. Like,
but then who are you talking to? Who are you speaking to? Who are the ones that you're wanting to listen? Because as you mentioned Beyonce, you mentioned Michael Jackson. These people had something to say, but in a way that was like...
Did they though?
Yeah.
I'm putting that forward. Did they? What did they say?
I think that, especially with Michael, that was completely pop. That was pop, that was yummy, that was like sweet and, you know...
I think Michael Jackson gave pop music soul. Pop music, he gave it... He made it cool, and he made it cool to dance. He made it cool to, you know, and let's not forget all the boundaries that this guy has broken. He was the first of his kind to break down so many boundaries to allow, you know, black artists
exactly.
the way for, you know, so you can't touch this, you can't touch the man, you know. And like, I think, but you're right, it's this thing of people having some sort of voice. I think a voice is accumulated over a period of time. And I think by just, you know, by us three, the guys and I just standing on stage, that's a protest in a sense. There's a multiracial group that's in harmony, in sync, performing, you know, being open, expressing themselves, united, you know. And I think
that's something. Where do you go from here? What's next?
You just keep ascending. You keep wanting to do better. You want the next stuff
but
that you do to
be
better.
Are you perfection?
Yeah, I think I think
like you have a level of control.
100%. It's like this perfectionists or people who are particular. It's the same. It's the same things. The other side of the same coin. Because you want it to be at a level. I want as many people to hear music as possible. There's no fear in that. There's no fear in that for me anyway. You know, granted that everybody's level of confidence is different. You know, and everybody has to be brought to the same page or. You know, or things made easier for certain people, but that's just that's what you do with a family, that's what you do with close people around you, and you know, and you all want to get to a certain place, you know, and.
But then when things get a little bit challenging, because it's not that you're at a high, you're in a very focused place,
right?
You know, you've got a job to do and you're doing it and you're feeling and you're loving it.
Yeah.
But when you're in that challenging place, especially from touring and having to go through that and all the shit that you have to deal with as a human being in general,
yeah,
what do you tell yourself then to kick yourself into that justify mode?
I think,
how do you get out of it?
How do I get out of it? I think about my mother. I think about my mother because like she's the strongest person I know, and the amount of stuff that she's been through during the war and everything like that. Like I can't, if she's able to survive and allow, you know, make sure her kids don't die, nothing for me, like nothing is worse.
Nothing is worse.
Nothing, like, yeah. So that's, I'm
You've
fortunate.
You've grown up with
I'm
perspective.
Fortunate. Yeah, I've grown up with perspective, and I've grown up with resilience and, you know, my mother instilled all those qualities in me. So for me, it doesn't, nothing is worse. So I can't, and that's not for everybody, because everyone has their coping mechanism, everyone has their limits, and everyone has
absolutely
stuff that they maybe just can't do. Like, you know, it's a whole thing, like one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? What's,
but this is
what's
your
you?
Story.
What's, yeah, so that's all for me. It's like, it's you know, I can't, I always think, you know, the sun's going to rise up tomorrow. So it doesn't matter if I'm in the darkest or the sunken place or whatever. If I'm there, like, you know, I always feel like it's going to be okay. Like, that's just in me. That's not to say it doesn't get hard. That's not to say I don't feel shit at times or whatever, like any other person. But I've got that source that I hold on to, and fortunate for me, it's my mother. So,
so it keeps you going.
It keeps me going.
Thank you for sharing.
This Must Be the Gig is produced by Adam Kibble, and we'd like to thank Billy Yost and The Kickback for our theme song, Rube, and buy their music at thekickbackband.com. Lexi Frame for the artwork, Daniel Brater and Dean Berger for the additional sound design, and the Consequence Podcast Network, where you'll find a bunch of other amazing shows. If you've listened this far, why not go the extra mile and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts? Your comments provide valuable feedback for us, and it helps other people find us too. For information on new episodes, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at TMBTGpod, and generally just irritate everyone you know about the show. Thanks again, and I miss you already.
Consequence Podcast Network.